So we're thinking about grace today in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We have been going through these dreadful chapters regarding human sin. How deep and dark human sin is, as Paul, by the Holy Spirit, exposes it in Romans 1, 2, and 3. And now we come near to the end of this third chapter, and praise God for grace abounding. So we're beginning our reading today in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law, or apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, or a satisfaction, for the justice of God, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission or for the forgiveness of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 26, and how wonderful it is that the Lord is shown to be the just God that He is, and yet at the same time, He is in His wisdom so worked that He can be the justifier of sinners. How amazing. I trust that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts today, that we would receive something of real lasting spiritual good that will help us now and be an encouragement to us unto the endless ages of eternity for Jesus' sake. We are considering today that wonderful verse 24. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. As Bible believers, we hold certain presuppositions. We believe that God is ultimate. Only God is infinite and limitless. The universe which God has created is not equal to Him. The universe is not the same as God Himself. He is involved with the universe, but He is not the universe. Since the universe is not infinite as God is, the universe is called in philosophy a closed system. Now, you can go on the internet and you can find all kinds of opinions about the universe. And many declare the universe to be an open system because they look on the universe as being infinite. The universe is God. If there is a God, then our only hope is the universe, the ever-expanding universe. And we are somehow the strange children of the universe. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And even Albert Einstein, as wise a man that he was, he declared that the universe is not infinite. Now, in this closed system of our universe, there is much degeneration and ruin. It is not only in the physical realm, it is also in the spiritual realm. In Genesis 19, verse 15, Lot was warned to flee the city of Sodom, lest he be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, that's very strange. Lot, you get out of here because the iniquity of the city itself is going to consume you. So the iniquity or the law-breaking sin carries within itself destruction, the capability of ruin and consuming and destroying sinners. And ultimately, that sin brings itself into destruction. Ultimately, sin will be confined to one location in the universe. Sinners, sin, Satan, demons, death, and hell will all be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 14, the place of everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1, 9 calls it everlasting destruction. And so, we understand that even sin itself is going into that place of destruction. Martin Luther was brought up in the self-destroying system of Roman Catholicism. I say that system of religion is self-destructive because it's out of touch with the Bible. And being out of touch with the Bible, it is out of touch with reality. Romanism taught and still teaches that there is no such thing as the assurance of salvation in this life. Well, since the Bible teaches the reality of assurance of salvation, Roman Catholicism as a self-destroying system is doomed for destruction. Jesus said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." Matthew 15, 13. This, he said, of false religion. Romanism is a part of the ruin and the degeneration in this universe. If doctrine is not sound doctrine, it is sinful doctrine, and it's bound to be destroyed. Now, Martin Luther, praise God, discovered by experience that there is not any lasting peace with God without the assurance of acceptance with God. Now think about that. He discovered there is no real lasting peace with God without the assurance of acceptance with God. So the lack of that peace brought Luther to the Bible. And Luther discovered in the Word of God, the book of Romans, justification by faith instead of by works, and real peace with God. Luther found that we are not saved by our works, for we can never do enough. Rather, we are saved by the work of Christ, our mediator, and we receive and rest upon His work by faith only. Thus, Luther came to enjoy both peace and assurance. Romans 3:24 is one of the great verses that brought about the Protestant Reformation. This verse teaches us what salvation is. It teaches us how this salvation comes to us and what makes salvation possible. Those are the three things we're going to look at in this verse. What salvation is, how this salvation becomes ours, and what makes salvation possible anyway. The great impetus that brought the Reformation was the thirst in the soul of man to have real Christian experience as it is defined in the Scriptures, rather than continuing as slaves to a degenerating system devised by depraved men. And praise God, we have an open Bible today because of that. So first of all, let us consider what salvation is. If you look at verse 24, the first two words tell us plainly, being justified. That's what salvation is. Being justified. How wonderful. Justified is a legal term. It does not mean that we are perfect, sinless people. Rather, it means that we are declared righteous in God's sight. Because of Adam's sin, man was declared a sinner. But now, because of Christ's work, and simply trusting or relying or resting on Christ's work alone, we are declared by God as righteous in His sight. Isn't that amazing? Justification is not something that we do. It is something that has been done for us. It is not simply that we will be openly declared someday at the judgment as righteous. But it actually means that those who are relying on Christ's righteousness alone right now are declared righteous before God. Praise God. We don't have to wait for later to have this. From the moment that we cease relying upon ourselves, from the moment we cease trying to be good enough, from the moment that we turn to Christ and rely upon Him alone, we are justified. So what is salvation? Salvation is very simple. Verse 24. Being justified. That's what salvation is. We are declared not only not guilty, that's negative. We are declared not guilty. We don't have any guilt anymore because Christ has taken our guilt. That's the negative side. But the positive side, we are declared to be as righteous as God is righteous. Now that is absolutely overwhelming. If you know anything about the corruption of your own heart, if you look back in your life and survey the sin and all the things that you're ashamed of, isn't it the most marvelous thing that we are not only declared not guilty, but we are actually declared as righteous in God's sight? As righteous as God is righteous. What does the Scripture say? We are made or declared the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of Adam. Not even the righteousness of a perfect man. But the Bible says we are declared the righteousness of God in Him. That's amazing. So the first thing is, what salvation is, being justified. Secondly, we see how this salvation becomes ours. Verse 24 again. Freely by His grace. Freely by His grace. Wow. There it is. How does it come to us? Freely by His grace. This is glorious. Twice the Holy Spirit states this right here in these short words. Freely, there it is once, and secondly, by His grace. The emphasis is upon the freeness of salvation, the freeness of the gift. Something we totally do not deserve, something that we have not earned. Now, I'm just going to be very honest with you. My wife got Katie a birthday gift. No strings attached. You don't have to come clean our house. You don't have to wash our clothes. You don't even have to come clean the church building. It's a free gift. I don't know if she gave it to you yet, but she will if she hadn't. All right. Now, the Greek word for freely emphasizes the gift. The gift. I saw the Greek word and I'm thinking, I've seen a Greek word very similar to that before. And I looked and sure enough, they have the same root. And it is used of Christ in the Gospels where Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. There it is. Without a cause, God gives us His salvation. It's not a cause in me. It's not a cause in you. The cause is all in Christ. It's free. God freely justifies me without a cause in me. I have no merit. I have nothing to give but sin. The merit is all Christ. It is all His work. He says that, but then He says, not only freely, but by His grace. Grace. Pure, unmerited favor. The spontaneous love of God. Now, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? over the years, my children have said to me, I love you, Daddy. It's okay, good. Okay. Now, love is a nice thing. It's a nice thing to think about with a sentiment. It's a nice thing to think about with, an emotion. But how do we see that? Would you please bring me a pencil? Oh, wow. I said that to one of my grandchildren the other day. Would you please bring me? And how wonderful. They brought me whatever it was. That was wonderful. Okay. So love, the spontaneous love of God. What does it look like? How do you see it? It is shown to us in His wonderful grace. You know, the law shows us something too. The law shows us our sin. The law shows us that we are sinners. But only the grace of God can justify us and declare us righteous before God. God's love is seen in the demonstration of grace and mercy. And I'll never forget trying to show my cousin what the opposite, the flip sides of the coin of mercy and grace. They're just opposite sides of the same coin. Mercy is us not getting what we deserve. Have mercy upon me. You know, a storm comes through. We're hiding. We're praying for God's mercy. Lord, don't give me what I deserve. I deserve for this to fall in on me. Crush me. But mercy. Grace is the opposite of that. It is getting what we don't deserve. His grace. God's grace. The very God that we have defied, we've disobeyed, we've provoked by our sin. He alone provides us this lovely saving grace. What do you think about this word grace? Is it beautiful to you? Do you love grace? Do you love the God of all grace? Well, let's consider in the last part of this verse. What makes salvation possible? You see in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Here's the third part. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There it is. This is where many people who call themselves Christians go wrong. They tell us that Christ simply came into the world to tell us that God is love. He came to tell us that God is love. Just believe that. God is love. And everybody will be happy. Let's love one another because God is love. What does that mean? Okay. Now, Christ did not come merely for this, to tell us that God is love. Christ came, as He said in His own words, to give His life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. The Greek word here for redemption means that Christ delivered the captives by paying a ransom for them. You know, someone's kidnapped. We're not going to let them go unless you pay this. Well, the ransom was our Savior's own precious blood. Paul said it. Now see, Christ said it. Christ said it. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Paul preached a different gospel Oh yeah, they say, oh no, you can't believe that stuff because Paul hated women. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul had all of these idiosyncrasies in his personality. He had a lot of axes to grind. He had all this stuff as a Pharisee built up in him. And now he's going to take it out on people. But then he has this doctrine that he teaches of imputed righteousness. But see, they say that Paul teaches a different gospel than Jesus did. Well, let's think about that. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to give His life a ransom for many. A ransom. Paul said the very same thing here. Through Christ's redemption. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we have this salvation. And Peter said the same thing. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, ye are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. They all said it. They all preached the same doctrine. This word redemption means that Christ redeemed us sinners from captivity, and He bought us from the slave market of sin. He has freed us only by the price of His blood. Now, the word through is very important. It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is this one channel through which we are saved, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Greek word dia. It is through Christ. It is through His work alone that we are redeemed. Old John Calvin wrote, here we see the cause of our redemption. And he gives several different causes. The mercy of God is the efficient cause. The blood of Christ is the material cause. Faith given us by the Holy Spirit is the instrumental cause, and the glory of God is the final cause. That's good. Praise God. Now I wonder, is the word grace precious to you? I believe if you're a child of God, grace is one of the most beautiful words in the English language. Blessings in abundance, totally undeserved. This is the wonder of grace. Now, about 100 years ago, there was a preacher named Harry Morehouse. And he was one day walking down one of the streets in one of the great cities in America. It was an area of the city that was a poor section. And he saw a small boy who came out of a store with a pitcher of milk in his hands. Now, this is over 100 years ago. And the little fella was making his way carefully along the street. And the little boy was probably about 5 or 6 years old. So you can imagine this little boy carrying this pitcher of milk. And as he was making his way carefully along the street, he suddenly slipped. The pitcher fell, and breaking in pieces, the milk ran all over the sidewalk. And he let out a wail. And the preacher rushed over to him to see if he were hurt. The little boy wasn't hurt, thankfully. But he wouldn't stop crying. He said, my mama's going to whip me. My mama will whip me. Well, the preacher said to him, maybe the pitcher's not broken in too many pieces. Let's see if we can fix it. So they set the bottom of the pitcher up. And they started putting the little pieces back in together. Well, each time that they failed and it fell apart again, the little boy would start crying again. Well, they finally got it all up there. Everything was on but the handle. And Reverend Morehouse gave the handle to the little boy. He said, now you put that right back in there. So he tried to fit it in the holes and it all fell down. The boy started crying again. Well, so the preacher said, stop crying. We're going to do something. So he gathered up the little boy in his arms and they went down the street to a store. And he entered with the little boy and he bought a new pitcher for him. And then they went back to the store where he got the milk and they had the pitcher washed out and new milk put in it. And instead of handing it to the little boy, he took the little boy up into his arms. And he took the pitcher in the other and he said, now you show me the way to your house. So he carried him, he directed him the way to his house, and he got there. He gently let the little boy down on the front steps, and he handed him the pitcher, and he said, "Do you think your mom will whip you now?" And the little boy started smiling, and he said, "Oh, no, sir, because it's a lot better pitcher than we had before." Now, this is a story that is similar to what Christ has done for us. We were broken, ruined, and helpless, and hopeless in our sin. We couldn't fix ourselves. And how many times did we try? They tried several times to patch the picture up. And boy, how many times through the years have we tried? We'd turn over a new leaf. We'd make another decision. We'd do all of this and that, and it would not work. But free grace, totally undeserved by us, has picked us up, having purchased for us a new nature. Praise God. Free grace is our salvation. The assurance of salvation is real. If you trust and rely on Christ alone to save you, then you ought to say to yourself, actually say to yourself, it's okay to talk to yourself. I was giving a little girl a ride at the camp. She was talking about she couldn't go up the hill, so I gave her a ride up the hill at camp. And she said, "Do you talk to yourself a lot?" I didn't realize I was talking. But it's okay. I was talking to myself. So it's okay to say to yourself, "God has declared me righteous, even though I don't deserve it. He has declared me righteous." Well, He has done for me all this because of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther believed the truth of Scripture, and he rested upon it. And so must you. You must assure your heart by trusting what God has said and relying upon that. Not what we feel like, not what others say, but what God says in His Word. Let us pray together. We thank Thee, gracious Father in heaven, that Thou art the God of all grace, that grace is abounding even to the chief of sinners. And Lord, we confess that when Thy law has opened up to us some of the dark shadows of our being, and some of the horrors of that great darkness of our own depravity, we have just thought, oh, how could we ever be saved? But we praise Thee for the greater light, the shining of Thy free and Thy sovereign grace. Lord, we thank Thee for this Scripture being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless the truth to our hearts today. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.